Today is the 9th of February, 2014. You join us for the morning worship service of the Weatherby House Church. A lot of people think that you have to be, a member of the church, it has to be at least, 30 or 40 people to make it a legitimate church. But according to Christ Himself, He says, where the two or three are gathered in My name, there will I be in the midst of them. And so it's not always bigger, it's not always better. In fact, I kind of come to the conclusion in the days that we're living in, smaller is better. The smaller, the better. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. So, anyway, this is the little church of the Weatherby House Church. We have a selection. Why don't we start with 427? 427. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my life in vain. I'm tempted then to murmur and of my lot complain. But when I think of Jesus and all He's done for me, then I cry, O Rock of Ages, hide Thou me. O Rock of Ages, hide Thou me. No other refuge have I but Thee. When life's dark veil I wander far, far from Thee, and I cry, O Rock of Ages, hide Thou me. Sometimes it seems I dare not go one step farther on, and from my heart all courage has disappeared and gone. But I remember Jesus and all His love for me. Then I cry, O Rock of Ages, hide Thou me. Oh, what a friend is Jesus, sure anchor for my soul. So tender, true, and gracious, I'm safe in His control. My help in time of danger, my strong defense is He. O Thou blessed Rock of Ages, hide Thou me. O Rock of Ages, hide Thou me. No other refuge have I but Thee. When life's dark veil I wander far, far from Thee, then I cry, O Rock of Ages, hide Thou me. Oh, most precious in the storms of life's raging sea, is an anchor to my soul, speaking peace to me, speaking peace to me, oh my Lord and King. Hope dispels my sorrows, speaking peace to me. Hope, though worthless to the blind, is a solid stay. To the trembling child of grace, struggling on his way, struggling on his way, toiling every day. To the weary pilgrim, struggling on his way. Hope with unbelief is strong and temptation sore, keeps us ever pressing on toward the blissful shore, toward the blissful shore, where we'll die no more. Hope our guidance helped us toward the blissful shore. Hope of heaven's endless climb is a prospect dear, and can never be compared to our sorrows here, to our sorrows here, pleading pain and care. Those cannot compare with endless glories there.
Okay, page 13, Psalm 13. It's been selected. A lot of voices out there in the world, and like we've said so many times, it's hard in our society with the information flow being so rapid and so massive to validate anything. People are making all kind of claims. All you have to do is look at your daily email and see that there are a lot of liars and cheats and thieves and extortioners and very evil people in the world. But as we've also said many times, we need to be reminded very, very frequently that God is sovereign over it all. People have this misconception that there are two sovereigns in the world. There's the devil and there's God. And they're equally powerful. There's a lot of people who believe that. And you just flip a coin and that will determine who wins the war, who wins the battle. Comes up tails, Satan wins. As if it comes up heads, God wins. Well, I've got news for people. God is the creator of all things, including Lucifer. God is sovereign over Lucifer. And if you've read the book of Revelation, you know that God prevails over Satan. And Satan is cast into outer darkness. There will be wailing, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And there is an eternal hell, according to the Bible. Even though Billy Graham and many other people now deny an eternal hell. But we also know that for God's people there is a refuge that we can hide in. The rock of ages. The everlasting Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. I recently have been corresponding with a friend of mine who has been lambasted by this atheist. Constantly tries to push my friend's buttons. And he sends me copies of the emails that this friend sends to him, and it's very evident that this man is full of rage against God. And one of the emails that he was sent was that Jesus Christ, the Savior, died for the sins of his people, and that there is no cost associated with this free gift. This man responded in saying, what's his address and what's his price? And he goes, I don't need a Savior. I can do my own. I won't use his words, but I can take care of my own self. I don't need anybody. I don't need a Savior, and I don't sin, and I've never sinned. And if you say that he's very, very crude in the way he talks. This man was a former police officer, law enforcement. And he also said, as far as I'm concerned, there is no God. And every time you say you need a Savior for your sins shows me you're weak-minded. I'm paraphrasing now. It's basically what he said. You're a weak-minded individual. Think you need a Savior. He goes, if I want to know how to go somewhere, I've got a map. I can look at the map, and I can even tape it on the windshield of my Harley Davidson. If I want to stop over the side of the road and look where I need to go, all I have to do to get my stuff together is look at the map, and I can tell where to go. So don't tell me that you have to have. And he goes, well, you think I'm going to pay for a middleman? And he goes, please don't mention the word religion or religious. Well, I can agree with him on that. There's a lot of religion out there that's false. But like my friend emailed him and said, which is so good, he said, there's a big difference between religion and relationship. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not into a religion. That's the problem with the Roman Catholics. They're into religion, not a relationship. They're into sacramentalism instead of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Like we've said many times again, you know, Jesus standing before Pilate. Pilate says, "What is truth?" And truth was standing right in front of Pilate. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Yes, Mr. Atheist, you do need a middleman. It's the only way to God. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's what it says in the Bible. And for you to think that you don't need a middleman, think you can do it all on your own. There's a lot of people that have bought into the lie of Satan that you don't need a middleman. You don't need a mediator. You do it all on your own. But when we come to stand before God, the Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Be interesting to see what this obnoxious proclaimed atheist will say 30 seconds after he dies and comes to stand before his maker. Do you think he's going to tell his maker then, I don't need a middleman. Give me a map. Think he's going to tell me, give me a map. I'll tell you how to get to where I need to go from here. Yeah. Well, anyway. We see in the book of Hebrews that this teaching of the mediator is so prevalent throughout the book of Hebrews, and it's also not only prevalent in the message of the writer of the book of Hebrews, but it's the theme not only as it relates to his mediatorship, but the fact that he paid a ransom and that he was the atonement for our sins. He became sin for us. He knew no sin. It says in Hebrews 1, it says that in the first verse, God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last times, days, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. I heard yesterday on broadcast that over 12,000 people had now signed a document stating that they upheld the theory of evolution. And they were denying 6 days literal creation. 12,000 pastors, by the way. In verse 13 he says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstools?" If we go on through the Revelation in the second chapter, the 8th verse says, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. When that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under. But now we see not yet all things put under, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." Now, we go on through Hebrews here, we see that his work is very specific. It says here that this work that he, verse 10, "For it became him for whom all things and by whom are all things, to bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." lot of argument right now about the supposed free offer of the gospel. God does not hawk his son. God does not put his son up on an auction block for sale. God sent his son into the world. And Jesus Christ freely laid himself down. God is not for sale. Is, again, verse 13, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. God gave to Jesus Christ his people. Now, he says that go back to the thought we had earlier about this mediatorship. We have to have a mediator. Now, there was even a recognition of that in through the prophet Isaiah. He showed in his prophecies of Jesus Christ, says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. We needed someone to take our place. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, second verse says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he goes on and says in verse 24, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. What was Jesus? According to the Hebrew writer, he was the mediator of the new covenant. Now he goes on and he says in verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. It also tells us in the next chapter, verse 9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established with what?
Grace.
Yes, with grace, not with means, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And he says in verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. This is the covenant that he is speaking of in the 12th chapter that says that he's the mediator of. Is the covenant. He is the mediator of the covenant. He's the shepherd of the sheep. And he's accomplished it through his blood that was shed on the cross for sinners. Well, great, great news for God's people, but it's not good news for those who are defiant against Almighty God. He says in chapter 9, verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Are you looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ? You are, it says that Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many and the them that look for him. Shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation? He also says, chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering. Jesus Christ was the mediator of the new covenant by offering himself on the cross for his people. This man, he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, set down on the right hand of God. This guy said, what's the address? What's the cost? My response to him would be, what's his name? Well, his name is Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. His address is heaven. And the cost is nothing, because he paid the price for all of his people's sins. This man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. For by one offering he had perfected for them that are sanctified. This is the covenant that I will make with them in those days, said the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Notice that. You know, there's Judaism and Roman Catholicism is one and the same thing. Because the presupposition with Judaism is you have to offer animal sacrifices for sin. And the presupposition with the Roman Catholics is you have to do all kind of things for the remission of sins. And according to this, he says, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Christ has already paid the price for our sins. And he says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Yes, we need to confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But let me tell you something. The price has already been paid. Jesus paid it all. Now we also see that Christ as a mediator has an unchangeable priesthood. 7th chapter of Hebrews, he says in the 21st verse there, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament or covenant. And it says, verse 24 of chapter 7, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. That's the mediatorship of Christ. Wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I don't need a go-between. I'll do it all myself. I can find my own way. All I need is a map. Well, we've been given a map. The map is the Word of God. And the Word of God says that he's able to save them to the uttermost to come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than heaven. But this gentleman said he never sinned. And then he said, don't tell me that I lie because I open my mouth. In other words, the thought is, everybody lies every time they open their mouth. Well, there's some truth to that. But that's a denial of his earlier statement that says that he doesn't sin. Well, I'm glad that we have a high priest we can go to. And I'm glad that God is merciful to our unrighteousness. I'm glad that our sins and our iniquities He does no longer remember, because of the work that He did, not anything that we did, not of works of righteousness that we have done. His own mercy He saved us, the washing of regeneration. Now, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. But it has nothing to do with the work that Christ did for our sins. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are His workmanship, creating in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Well, we have to have the doctrine of the Bible set in order. We know that the order is as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. We should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us in the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, where He made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. According to the richness of His grace, wherein He hath abounded for us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. How can anyone who reads the first chapter of Visions be an Arminian and promote free will? Because in those four verses, he talks about number four, He chosen us in Him. Number five, according to the good pleasure of His will. Number six, the praise and glory of His grace. Number seven, the riches of His grace. Number nine, mystery of His will, which He purposed in Himself. And of course, number 11, the biggie, whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And also, as we started in Hebrews, also it reaffirms it in Ephesians 1, 20 through 23. Let's just start with 19. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him in His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things for the church, which is the body of the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. It's pretty evident that Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, and He is in charge. Now he says in verse 16 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. This is the mediatorship of Jesus Christ. Well, a lot of people that are denying that Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. And of course, we understand why. Because they cannot uphold the mediatorship of Christ and uphold all of these other religions. How can they uphold the mediatorship of Christ? Let's go back to 1 Timothy 2:5 for a minute. 1 Timothy 2:5. See what that has to say. It's difficult to uphold the mediatorship of Christ and uphold Buddhism, or Hinduism, or Roman Catholicism, which says that the Pope is the vicar of Christ, and we know that the Bible says that we're not to call any father upon the earth. The Roman Catholic Church says that Mother Mary is the co-redemptoress with Christ. He says in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Notice that. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. One God, and there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Find it very interesting that there are people that now are denying that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. So we need to proclaim this loud and clear. Let's go back to Romans 3:29. What is Romans? What does Romans have to say about this subject? Romans 3:29. We're using the King James Version of the Bible, 1611 version. I don't know what your Bible might say. They've changed it so much, but if you stick with the 1611 King James Version of the Bible, you will... I heard a guy yesterday make a statement, that's the old King's English. It's kind of hard to pronounce and kind of hard to understand. No, it's not. I'll tell you, it's a lot harder to understand these new versions, the way they got, they've twisted these scriptures all up. It says in verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. One God. One God. Not... all these different gods out there. Okay, it's one God. We find the same kind of teaching in Galatians 2. Let's go back to Galatians. He says, let's just start with verse 11, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident the just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith, but the men that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Well, it says, verse 20, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Verse 20, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. One God. There's only one mediator. Now, how can we conclude that from that? Well, he says in verse 26, we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Well, if we go back to the 12th chapter of Galatians, go back to the 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians 12. He says, give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord by the Holy Ghost. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord by the Holy Ghost. We have a lot of people out there saying that Jesus isn't the Lord. Jesus isn't the only. We're here proclaiming today that Jesus is Lord. And so that proves that we have the Holy Ghost, tongue speakers. Our tongue speakers. Well, you don't have the Holy Ghost if you don't speak in tongues. No, according to the Bible, if we proclaim that Jesus is the Lord, we have the Holy Ghost. Scriptures that validate the reality of what we're saying this morning. You go back to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator, victory, through our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we... how can we come against these people that are attacking the Lord Jesus Christ by denying His kingship and His mediatorship? In the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 22 says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let it be anathema. In other words, if there are others out there that are not proclaiming the grace of Jesus Christ, and if they're denying the mediatorship of Jesus Christ, they're trying to uphold all of these other false doctrines, let them be anathema. We are to be upholding what Christ has done. That is the gospel. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. The God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did a specific work when he came to this world. And a lot of people don't want to give him credit for what he's done. They want to climb up some other way, which would make them a thief and a robber, according to John 10. Any other way but Jesus. Jesus is the only way. He says, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is that what he said? I am the way? Oh, I don't need Jesus. I don't need a Savior. That's for weak-minded people. Well, this fella, one of these days, he'll find out that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He says in the first chapter of Galatians that gave himself for our sins, verse 4, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, not according to the free will of man, but according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then he says, I marvel, that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. All paths lead to God, which is not another, but there is some in trouble, and we pervert the gospel of Christ. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we are preaching to you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than we have received, let him be accursed. Certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I was neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, we can find, therefore, that the gospel is what? I would say the gospel is what Christ did. What Christ did for his people. What Christ did for his people. What Christ did. Not what man did. There's plenty of people out there saying all the things they've done. Why do you think Apostle Paul in Galatians said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. For by him are all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Please the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things in himself, by him I say, will they be things in earth or things in heaven? And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. God would make known what is the riches and glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It says that having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. So, That is our answer to all those that are proclaiming another gospel, trying to promote world religions all coming together. It's a denial of the true gospel and the Word of God. Do we have a selection? Page 27, Psalm 21b. That's been selected. 27, 21b.
Christ.